today on Real Radio.
God promised David that a child of his, a son of his, Jesus is bloodline genealogically through David's line. How cool is God's word? God keeps his word to you, his promises to you, down to the DNA droplet.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Great Commission, begins a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah Jesus Christ like no other prophet, and also what will happen in the last days. Isaiah's ministry began right about 740 BC and ended at 680 BC. Isaiah's name means, "The Lord is my salvation." The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters that are broken up into two sections. The first 39 chapters are on sin, judgment, and the future, and the final 27 chapters are on restoration, forgiveness, and the future. Israel was in the north and Judah was in the south. The nation as a whole had departed from God while being surrounded by hostile nations. The Assyrian Empire was on the rise, Persia was threatening, Babylon was stirring, while Egypt was preparing for war. Today on day three of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that a prophet brings the concerns of heaven down to earth and announces what God's thoughts are. And now in this day and age and in our culture, God wants to speak up and through the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us, bring the gospel to our lost and dying world. And now continuing his lesson called God's Great Commission, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I think if we turn back to the Lord quickly, I think God is waiting to bless America once again. I really do. But will we turn to him? Will we turn to him? This is kind of fun. As Isaiah was ministering, there were some pretty famous guys doing the same thing. His contemporaries in ministry was Hosea in your Bible. Amos, the book of Amos, was a contemporary. They were ministering in the north, up in Israel. Isn't that encouraging? I think that's awesome. Isaiah, and have you ever heard of the prophet Micah? Micah, they were predominantly ministering in the south. Now, Micah did minister in the south, but Isaiah's ministry was predominantly south, but it spilled over into the north. But it's pretty amazing, amazing calling. Regarding him, that is the Lord being our Savior, our salvation, six times in the Old Testament, the Lord, our Savior, or the Holy One of Israel appears. In the book of Isaiah, between 28 and 30 times it appears. Isaiah 43:3 says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Now you guys, this again written 743 years before Jesus was born. What does the Bible say? He's the Holy One of what? Of where? Listen, shout it out. Israel. Say it again.
Israel.
The Bible says, preempting all views about what that land should be called, God calls it Israel. And that he's the Holy One of Israel. Again, 28 times. The greatest collection in all of the Old Testament. Isaiah's ministry, Isaiah 9, verse 6, we read it on Sunday, so we read it again. Isaiah 9, 6, "For unto us a child is born," said Isaiah in his prophecy, "and a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David." This is serious. Listen up, everybody. "Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." Watch. "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Amazing statement. Isaiah says the Messiah is going to come to earth. This is his authority. And there will be a time when He sits upon the throne of David, and his power or his politic will be forever. We know that in this context, earth time, forever means a millennia, 1,000 years. But Jesus, of course, will be on his throne forever. But here's what's so cool. Jesus Christ, the one you love, Bible prophecy is so exact and so perfect that the Jesus that you and I love still must fulfill certain prophecies of the Bible. He will, I'm fully confident, but one of them is he must sit upon the throne of David from Jerusalem. He has to. Well, I think that's allegorically speaking. Nope. Well, maybe it's a metaphor. Nope. I think it's symbolic. No. Jesus Christ, if you and I are following the right Jesus, he's got to sit on the throne of David, and that is in Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? Right now, you can't find it. If you went around Jerusalem poking around with a shovel, you wouldn't find the throne of David. I can't find it. You're not going to find it. God knows, by the way, exactly where he wants to place it. It's coming, but it has to be an earthly reign. God promised David that a child of his, a son of his, Jesus is bloodline genealogically through David's line. How cool is God's word? God keeps his word to you, his promises to you, down to the DNA droplets, the smallest detail. Think, if God traces, and mankind will be able to trace as well, imagine, think of this. There'll be a day when God allows technology to reach a point where they will be able to say, in all of their research, hey, Jesus is the son of David. Because listen, one of the profound reasons, as you follow that bloodline, there was a profound theological reason why Joseph and Mary, none of Joseph's blood could have been allowed in the veins of the Messiah of Israel. Did you know that? He would have been rejected. Because under Jeconiah, that king, he sinned a sin, and God pronounced a curse on Jeconiah and said, no child of yours sitting upon the throne of David will ever prosper. Your blood's cursed. So when you look at Joseph and Mary's bloodline coming down, isn't it amazing that God the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary? And in that miraculous conception of God, the Holy Spirit at work, a baby was created using the human bloodline DNA of the promise to David through Mary's line, not Joseph's, because Joseph's had been cursed by Jeconiah's disobedience. The genius of God, which is interesting, by the way, if you are going to be proven true to be a Jew today, in the 21st century, guess whose bloodline Israel will trace to find out if you're a Jew or not? Your mom, not your dad. Isn't that cool? I thought you guys would really like that a whole lot. I think that's awesome. I think that's great. And so, very quickly, and this is technical, you're not going to really care about this so much, but those maybe one of you in here, but I need to say it. You guys, everybody in the whole wide world believed that Isaiah wrote the book of Isaiah until about 280 years ago. And there were some theologians in Germany that began to think, you know what? When you read the first 39 chapters, it's all about fire and brimstone. And then from chapter 40 on to chapter 66, it's really amazing. It's exciting. It's wonderful and loving and kind. There must be two Isaiahs. They're two different guys. That's too different. They must be two different guys. There must have been two different authors. Some guys have said, no, there's more than that. There's more. And listen, this has been very tragic. Are you guys all listening? Yes. This group of German theologians cast so much doubt in the minds of people regarding the Word of God that many, many, many people gave up on following God and shipwrecked their faith because these knuckleheads cast such a strong dispersion upon the Word of God. And by the way, I think that same spirit traffics in many Christian colleges or universities today still. Who really wrote the book of Isaiah? Let's talk about, you know, it's amazing because you're going to pay like, you know, $50,000 to get through this course, and you're going to have some nut up there that you're paying tell you, well, let's talk about who really wrote the book of Isaiah. What, you know what? Listen, it shouldn't even be a question. You say, well, who are you to answer that? I'm a nobody. But why don't you grab your Bibles right now and turn to John chapter 12, and we'll talk about somebody. Who wrote the book of Isaiah? Which one was it? You can't trust it. And if two guys or three guys or four guys wrote the book of Isaiah, then who wrote the Gospel of John anyway? And it messed up a bunch of people. Well, check this out. John chapter 12. And you know the story in this chapter. The Pharisees are battling with Jesus. They're hating him. They're jealous of him and all the above. And, you know, before I read this, church, always let the Bible answer the issue. Let the Bible answer the issues of life. It's God's eternal word. Let the Bible answer. Okay? Verse 37. John 12. But although he had done so many miracles before them, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, quote, the Lord who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? In your margins of your Bible right there, can you write down Isaiah 53 verse 1? Why? Because that's Isaiah 53 verse 1. Now verse 39 could save you $20,000. Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, verse 40, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that they should heal, so that I should heal them. That's a quote right out of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. These things, verse 41 says, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Ladies and gentlemen, John 12, verses 37 to 41 says there's only one Isaiah. By the way, Jesus is saying it himself. Hello. There's only one Isaiah. And that Isaiah, Jesus quotes from chapter 6, the earlier section, and from chapter 53, the latter section, that the theologians say two different guys wrote it because they're so different. And people's faith were shipwrecked over these guys. Do you guys all hear me? This is serious business. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you read. Listen, the world in spiritual circles, people can say anything. And they can pull verses out of nowhere and make it sound right. It doesn't make it right. Well, you know, this guy's saying this, and he uses these verses, and it's really got me thinking. Get out of there. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Well, I was on this website. Get off of it. Serious. Do you understand that the internet has given carte blanche to people who otherwise would be locked up in padded cells, but they have a hookup. They have an internet hookup. There are people on websites talking, and they should be in hospitals medicated. I'm serious. You know, if you've got a computer, you can blab. You can blab on a blog. Who knows who you're listening to? Be careful. You've got to know your Bible so well in these last days. And so listen, you guys, we are about to embark next week on an amazing journey in this tremendous book. God interrupts our time and our space in humanity by the ministry of a prophet. A prophet brings the concerns of heaven down to among earth. A prophet announces what God's thoughts are. And so, yes, it is true. We do not have Old Testament prophets today in our age, but I strongly believe that God wants to use us to speak up into our culture. We're having a great time in our house right now because the women's ministry, I benefit from the women's ministry so much because Lisa, my wife, is so involved in all of that, and everything about our house has been for a couple months, because they're going into the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's like, yes, 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 yes. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the church. The prophets of old, the Bible tells us, spoke for God when the Spirit came upon them in the Old Testament. And then, listen, when the Spirit was done speaking through them, he left them. He did not indwell them. That's why David said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Did you know you don't ever, ever have to say that? As a believer, the Holy Spirit's in you. It's my desire that for those of us who are Christians tonight, knowing that the Holy Spirit is in you, is to have the Holy Spirit come upon you for power. And I mean power to stand up at this age. Church, listen. There's a lot going on. How are you going to make it? The only way we're going to make it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because listen, he's like this, and I mean this reverently. He's like this. He goes like this. And I'm saying this generically. He's saying to us, read your Bible. Because as soon as it's in you, I can use that. So read your Bible. Go to Bible study. Hang out with others. Talk about the Lord. Fellowship with others. Iron sharpening iron. Go to prayer meetings. Turn off the TV. Make yourself usable. Get ready. Why, Lord? Because I can use you and I want to use you. The Holy Spirit's saying, yeah, come on. You know what? We got some stuff to do. We got some work to do. And that's what he wants to do. He is wanting, and I just sense the Holy Spirit of God is like in the gate at the a horse wanting to run. And I bet you he would be saying things like this. Can you feel the culture adrift? People are lost and scared. I want to use you to speak to them. Do you see all the pain and the sorrow that's going on? I want to use you to meet those needs. And while you're meeting those needs and feeding people and bandaging up their wounds, you give them the gospel of the Son of God. And then while you're doing that, you know what? And then you know what? We'll get so caught up. Have you ever been busy, so busy that the clock just went by? Listen, I believe he wants us to be so busy about what he wants to do. And as we speak as prophets into this culture, into this age, that we sense his power. Listen, the clock's going to go by so fast when you're doing the right thing. You know, when you're doing the wrong thing, it's like it just drags on. Like, man, is it time? Isn't it time to go home from work yet? Listen, you'll be so busy you won't have to be looking at the clock every 5 minutes. Next thing you know is, what? And the Lord was saying, you're all done. Come on. May we be prophets to this age. Father, we thank you for the prospect, the thought. We read the news, we see evil marching like orcs right out of Lord of the Rings, marching across the valley floor like ants, cutting people's heads off, burning people, crucifying people. It's like a movie, but it's not. Lord, we're asking for an absolute burst of light onto the scene. Dear God in heaven, we pray that you would visit your church in America. That your people would stand up in the light of the word and go forward in power. And Father, we see remarkably, nearly 3,000 years ago, the same players on the map, on the screen, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Persia, Babylon, are stirring for war. And here we are. What an amazing time to be alive. Lord, I pray tonight that each and every one of us would know Jesus personally, If someone is here right now that does not yet know Jesus personally, my friend, if that's you right now, right where you're at, know this, God is your salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine. He rose again from the dead to be able to give you this offer of eternal life. He defeated death, he defeated the grave, and he invites you to be with him, to be with us. Acknowledge that. Tell him right now, right where you're at, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have sinned against your Ten Commandments. I have broken your heart. I ask you to forgive me, Jesus, and come into my life. Change me tonight and use my life to your glory. You tell him that right now, and God is faithful. And Lord, as a church, throughout this book and during this time in which we live, may you galvanize us in this culture that we might shine the light of your eternal word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Great Commission. Thanks for listening. And like Isaiah, we need to speak to our own generation about knowing God personally by accepting His Son Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. God's Great Commission is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As many of you already know, Pastor Jack handpicks a book of the month each month for those of us who look forward to great reading material for spiritual growth. Well, we actually have two books of the month for the month of February. The first one is called The Love of God, An Intimate Look at the Father Heart of God. And it's written by the well-known author Oswald Chambers, who also wrote the very popular devotional called My Utmost for His Highest. In The Love of God, An Intimate Look at the Father Heart of God, Oswald Chambers challenges the Christian to step back and consider what their commitment to the Lord means in both personal and practical terms. It's sure to help deepen and strengthen your relationship with the Heavenly Father. Our second book of the month is called Softball, Glory, and God's Story by three-time gold medalist Leah Amico. This 31-day devotional will inspire athletes of all ages to be their very best and encourages them to keep God first as they work hard to accomplish their goals. Leah Amico also shares inspirational stories and how the softball field can relate to principles found in God's Word. Again, our books of the month, The Love of God, An Ultimate Look at the Father Heart of God by Oswald Chambers, and Softball, Glory, and God's Story by Leah Amico. Both are available for purchase when you go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Have you had a chance to go to our website yet, reallifewithjackhibbs.org? Well, if you haven't, then you haven't yet discovered all that Pastor Jack wants to share with you. There are so many resources that you can tap into. Simply start at the Home tab and go from there. Pastor Jack offers videos of past sermons, Real Life Radio in case you missed an episode or you want to hear one again. There are also devotions with a new one every week, our recommended book of the month, special events you can sign up for, Bible prophecy from our Facebook Live events, and a whole lot more. And by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? Over 500 videos for you to choose from to guide you through your walk with Christ. And when you have your smartphone or tablet close by, you can download the Real Life app. So all that's happening at Real Life with Jack Hibbs is right there at your fingertips. Once again, head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can even download the Real Life app from right there, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.